W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Hello and welcome in to another episode of the WTH Podcast. Need to turn my headphone up. There, now I can hear me.
Now you can hear yourself.
Now I can hear me. How's everybody doing? Happy President's Day as we're recording this.
Yeah, past President's Day. Happy past President's Day.
It's true because no one's. We're not live. We're not Facebook living this thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, but also just not current president.
Not current president.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
I mean, it's his day too. I haven't been on Twitter, so I haven't noticed anything weird. No. And I don't follow him anyway, so there's that. Probably not going to. Although I have enough people I know who follow him that I will occasionally see random tweets from Trump, Devin Nunes, other people I never really want to hear from unless I'm in the mood for it.
Is tough because it's never.
Right. So, hey, Twitter, knock that shit off.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Suck a big one.
I get some people that'll tweet or respond to what he said, and then I see it in my feed.
And I mean, I'm okay with that, but I will randomly see stuff where no one has said anything. It says, because so-and-so follows him. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah. No, thank you.
That's where Twitter is more annoying than Facebook. There's not a lot of places where Twitter is more annoying than Facebook. That is absolutely one of them. If you hear the sound of a baby in the background, that's not your imagination. My foster daughter is sitting in with us because Leslie has gone out of town. Hi, we just dropped her off at the airport, and getting a sitter for just this amount of time didn't make any sense. So I said, you know what? She's going to sit in with us on the podcast and chill out. You know, you threw that on the ground. That's why it's not there anymore. We have to learn these things. Yes. We're going to learn life lessons today.
We are.
That's what we're going to do.
Oh, man.
All right. Before we get into too many life lessons, Kareem, how was your week?
My week was hectic with work. Valentine's Day sucked ass.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's kink. Let's hear about it.
And
not in a good way?
No, not in a good way.
Okay.
But yesterday I got to do, the Crocker Art Museum did Black History Month celebration.
They spent one day on Black History Month?
Well, no, actually they've done events for the month. Okay. But
I see.
Okay. Yesterday was like the day where everybody could come in for free.
Gotcha.
So I went to that. Got to take a lot of pictures. The turnout was excellent. There were so many people that I had a hard time parking. Like,
yeah, there's decent parking there.
Yeah.
But there's the garage almost across the street, which is where you probably had to park.
That's where I ended up having to park. Yeah. But the fact that it was enough people that showed up to it for that, I mean, that it was great. A bunch of my friends performed in different areas. Some did poetry, some did music. And then I got to get a lot of pictures of families. And so it was a good, productive day. A lot of good energy.
Cool. Jason, what about you?
Chris and I had a night away from the kids.
Oh, my.
We went up to Dunsmuir to this place called the Railroad Resort. And
which one of y'all got railed?
Looking at him. This is my night. So like they have a bunch of old cabooses that they've made into rooms.
It's not nice to say that about your wife.
Yeah, I know. No. I know. And I made some room in that caboose, you know what I'm saying? No, but
peg
they also like
and we will go. Pegging, we will go.
There's a dining car there also, so they serve like a dinner there too. So we drove up, we left like 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning. And started our way up that way. but we went around to MacArthur Burney Falls.
Yeah.
I'd never been there before.
That's an area that Leslie has brought me to. That's it's important with her tribe.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing place. Pretty amazing place. And so we did a hike around that. There's like a 1.1 mile hike around that. So we did that hike. I had to stop multiple times.
a lot of,
yeah. Give me a second. Let me see if this inhaler works still. I mean, it was heating up by the end of it. It was hot. So we did that. And then we played, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the game card, Phase 10. Or not. It's you have to go through 10 phases in order to win. But each round, somebody can get that phase and then the other person doesn't get that. Like if they haven't gotten the phase, they still have to do that first phase. Does that make sense? So anyhow, it can be a long freaking game. Cause it's, you have to get sets of cards and stuff like that. We played a full round of that. We played a couple other games. It was neat. It was just neat. We didn't like watch TV or anything. We had, actually, I think I might have had the TV on in the background because the Pandora wasn't working.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So that's what we did. It was awesome. Drove through Reading. Went through a walk around the Sundial Bridge.
Yeah. You hit everything in Reading.
We went to the Theory Collective there and got coffee there. I had an Americano. It's kind of my go-to to test a place because it's simple and not too frilly. It was good. It was good. So
nice.
Had a good time. Enjoyed that time.
How was your week?
Yeah.
It was interesting. Leslie was away on a company retreat all last week. And thankfully, one of her aunts, Pam, came down and helped out, mostly just watching the little one. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, where I do I have to be here? Do I have to have her all the time? So it was good. But we went to, she went to swimming lessons twice last week.
How'd that go?
It went fine. She loves the water. She's absolutely in heaven during swim lessons. I mean, it's one of those things that, okay, don't do that into the microphone. I'm going to punch you right in the face. That's why he moved over there. So yeah, she's been in swim lessons since September. So she's, you know, she's totally down with it. But yeah, Leslie got back like late Thursday and she did not sleep well at all on this retreat.
Oh,
like 90 minutes of sleep, 2 hours of sleep. So she got back and wasn't really feeling well. So, it was not great on that front because you don't want somebody. And then we were talking about going to Reading to visit family because they haven't seen the little one in a while and, you know, get away. And I'm like, look, you haven't slept well. You're starting to feel run down. You're getting a sore throat. Oh, and Monday you've got to go to Burbank and then drive to Tejon for 2 days in Southern California. So
that does not sound like,
yeah, that sounds like go home and go to sleep.
That's what ended up happening was the go home, go to sleep. We did, in fact, finally, this is really exciting stuff. What am I, Jason? We finally got a big girl stroller for her, which is exciting. We ended up getting a, and by the way, bye bye, baby. Good Christ. Oh my God. I went to Bye Bye Baby twice this week in Elk Grove.
Yeah.
So we got the stroller and they had this stroller sale, but it was very unclear. And finally I asked somebody and the person I asked didn't really know either. So she called somebody else over. Ultimately, the only thing on sale were last year's strollers and the only ones that were left were on the floor and there weren't many of them left. This one wasn't actually on the floor. It was up on a rack.
Okay.
So it had been up on the rack for a year. We ended up getting a very nice deal on it.
See, that is, when we got ours also, it was a similar type of situation. Yeah. It's the only way to fucking buy from. It's the only reason it still exists.
It's expensive. So we did that. But then the camera that we had gotten, the monitoring system for over her crib, had been intermittently disconnecting. Yes, intermittently disconnecting. And She's saying it. And ultimately, it would not reconnect, which, of course, my wife freaked out about.
Of course.
So I call tech support, and I spend 45 minutes on the phone with tech support, and they...
couldn't do a thing about it.
Nope. Send it back. We'll replace the camera. And then it occurred to they're like, well, do you have the receipt? And I didn't know where the receipt went. Ultimately, the receipt had been put up on the refrigerator with a magnet.
Awesome.
So we came to the conclusion, okay, we'll replace the camera. And I'm thinking, this is going to be simple. They'll send me a new camera with a return envelope. Oh, no, that's not how this company does it. You have two options. You can either send the camera back before they send you the camera and send them a tracking number, or you give them your credit card number so that they can charge you for the new camera if you don't happen to return the old one within 2 weeks.
All righty.
Yeah. So I then got on. Here's where Bye Bye Baby really soared in my eyes. They now have the online chat. So I hit them up on the online chat. I said, hey, I have this camera. I don't have a receipt. I bought it 2 weeks ago. It stopped working. Can I bring it in and exchange it? And they said, did you buy it with a card? And I said, yes, I did. And they said, do you have the card? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, then we can look up the receipt and you can do it. That was a 10-minute time in the Bye Bye Baby to get the new camera. Which, by the way, got it home, hooked it up. It works great.
Great.
Had a goddamn lemon is what we had.
What are the chances?
Had a goddamn lemon.
What are the chances?
For a, $300 lemon. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Anyway, so that all is well now. And it's me and the little one for the next couple of days. And
how do you like the stroller?
You know, we haven't used it much because we just got it over the weekend and we haven't really been out with it. I brought it in today just so that she could have a really comfortable place to sit during the podcast.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Ultimately, because she can sit up. It's really nice because it's got the one hand lay down motion. You'll appreciate this, Jason. Yep. Okay. Get ready to talk about it. All right.
So he's right in back of, and bam. Yep. Now it's zero G's. She's in zero G's. That's dope.
Right?
Yep. Yep. That's so makes bedtime that much easier.
So one handed, we're out on a stroll. I can lay her down so she can take a decent nap.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is really nice. Now, of course, she has her feet up on the tray there because we bought the replacement bar because it was just a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, so it's got a snack tray here. So exciting stuff on the podcast.
baby stuff.
So this week,
two of you now. God damn it.
This week, the big thing that was dominating everything was. This one passenger that was on a Delta flight. So, dude just keeps punching the back of the seat of this woman in front of him. Now, he is, there's not really anything to hear but airplane noise. He's sitting in the very back of the plane or the back of business section. Anyway, he cannot recline in his seat. And the woman in front of him, he's just I saw that punching the back of the seat. It's really more pushing it with his fist. He's not punching it.
Yeah.
He's being an asshole.
He's being a jerk, without a doubt.
He's violating the prime directive of don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
And this caused a bunch of debate online. Is it okay to recline your seat or not? Well, the CEO of Delta went on TV to weigh in and let you know.
What's the etiquette, though? I want to know what the etiquette is. If you're a tall guy, Ed, you are a tall guy. You are in coach.
I am.
And somebody's in front of you and they want to go all the way back. Is it appropriate to even say to them, hey, I'm really tall or whatever it is?
By the way, all the way back, they recline 2 inches.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
All the way back?
You could do me a favor and don't go back. Do they have every right to go as far back as they want? They paid for the ticket.
I think customers have the right to recline. We've been testing reduced recline and seeing response on that. We actually have a fair amount of our fleet.
How about you test having enough room for people to fucking recline 2 inches without it impinging on a normal human being?
What's going on?
How about that?
Wait a second. because
his solution is to have seats that just don't recline as much.
Right. But I'm telling you, of all of the flights, besides, I think it's JetBlue, Delta probably has the most comfortable seats.
I don't care. I love how in this situation, like, the people that have made the seats and the horrible seating situation happen in the first place.
Right, by cramming like, more of them in.
Like how they're the ones getting off completely scot-free and, like, people are upset with each other. Like, this is a situation clearly that's, like, been brought on, like, two assholes. Like, he asked her not to recline, you know, especially while he was trying to, like, he asked her not to. She then reclined all the way, which is her right. I'm not saying that that's wrong or right. Mm-hmm. And then he was a jerk about it. Like, there was a number of common courtesy, like, he didn't have, like, it was nice of him to ask, say, hey, can you not recline? Like, yeah. That's perfectly acceptable. And then she reclines, and then, anyhow, I think that there's a bunch of assholery here in the first place, but the reason that people were assholes to each other are because the seats are too damn close to one another.
Yeah.
Like, that's the real problem.
They're trying to
We're on the same team. We're on the same team.
It really is. But his advice is don't recline.
Yeah.
Here's my advice. Stop that, you nonsensical boob. Nonsensical boob, I say.
Oh, and then this guy?
No, not that guy. Well, this guy, yes. So it's President's Day as we record this, and on Sunday, our current president became only the second sitting president to visit. Well, there were two big sporting events yesterday. One was the NBA All-Star Game,
mm-hmm.
which Trump did not go to.
What? No.
Thank you, Chris. Well, Mr. President, of all the events that you can attend, why did you decide to come here today to the Great American Race?
It really is the Great American Race, and I look at this as almost a patriotism kind of thing. It's incredible. The people are incredible. We love the area. We love the state, and it's a very exciting. You know, I've been here four times before as a civilian, and now I'm in a different capacity. We love NASCAR, and we love
the people. I noticed there were almost no black people.
You mentioned you have been here before, the last time, though, back in 2001. So what is it about NASCAR that you enjoy personally?
I think it's really the bravery of these people. I mean, these are very, you know, they do all the safety things and everything, but it takes great courage. It's the speed. It's really the technology. You look at what's happened just over the last 10 years with the cars. I love to see it. I love to watch it.
Okay, so inquiring minds want to know, as the president, are you allowed to drive your own car?
Well, you know I'm not, but I think I'm going to really, right now, if I can, I'm going to hop in.
Has he ever driven a car?
Has he ever driven a car?
I think that's a fair question. So that's one part of this, but the other part that I found really interesting, because I don't really care if he goes to the Daytona 500. I don't care if he goes to the NBA All-Star Game, but he's not going to. There was an Air Force One flyover near the Daytona 500, but they got into a little bit of an issue because they tweeted a photo. I don't think Trump tweeted it, but they sent out a photo of Air Force One at the Daytona 500. And it was like, oh, blah, 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 the majesty, blah, blah, blah. It turns out the photo that they sent out was the one from 2004.
That they used already in all their press releases prior to the day. Like, they had been showing this picture for the previous week before this happened. Like, it's not even like, it's not, it's like, it's just like, it's like the incompetence on that. Like, because it was the press secretary. Like, they're the ones that tweeted it. And like, they did not, how did they make that mistake?
Yeah, I don't know.
It wasn't a mistake.
Yeah, I know. Of course it wasn't, because the stands were like less than half full.
They are the kings of fake news. They're always projecting. They are the kings of
fake down there.
News. The campaign manager deleted the dramatic Air Force One photo after people.
Oh, campaign manager. Sorry. It's
oh, it's the best. It's the best. That's the thing that amazes me more than anything else. It's no matter how small the detail, we will lie about it for no reason at all. Absolutely no reason at all. I mean, it's a great photo.
Yeah.
But miscaptioned. Yeah. The Snopes calls it miscaptioned.
It's not miscaption. It's a damn lie.
Yeah. Brad Parscale, who, by the way, started on the Trump 2016 campaign, is the guy who ran the store that sold the MAGA hats. tweeted out, real Donald Trump won the Daytona 500 before the race even started, except the photo that he tweeted along with it was from 2004 with the plane sitting behind the grandstand. So, and then he deleted it and replaced it with a real image of Air Force One landing, which was far less impressive because the stands hadn't filled up yet.
Exactly.
And the baby keeps throwing something on the ground. That's what this is all about. She does that, and it's a whole thing. All right. So while we're on Trump for a moment, Mike Bloomberg has been saturating us with ads right and left. Now, by the way, earlier today, Mike Bloomberg insulted farmers and other workers, which real smart, Mike.
I see that.
Good move, Mike Bloomberg. I'll look it up real quick. Bloomberg insults.
You didn't even have to.
There it is. First thing. Bloomberg insults farmers. Let's see. It is. Rush Limbaugh calls him ignorant and arrogant. Fair enough. Edited video of Mike Bloomberg appears to insult farmers and factory workers. Aha! There's more to the story. There's always more to the story. Of course, get away from me there. Okay, I'll unblock your ads. Thank you so much. Get to pause on this site. This is good pod, by the way.
This is one of my favorite pieces of the pod.
Right when I have to unblock sites.
Yeah, and we have to go to like the ad blocker.
Gotta unblock it. I don't unblock
now
it.
Now I know how to do it.
Yeah. So video circulated by. Oh my God.
Ooh,
I live in the Sacramento area. Now I have to answer questions.
There you go.
Isn't it enough that I unblock you? A video circulated by President Trump supporters with more than 1 million views attempts to show candidate Mike Bloomberg making disparaging remarks about farmers and manufacturing workers. But the short edited clip from a 2016 appearance doesn't provide full context. In the video circulated on Twitter, Bloomberg says, I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, and up comes the corn. You could learn that. But the video deleted the first part of the statement, which Bloomberg says, if you think about the agrarian society that lasts 3,000 years, we could teach processes. In the full video, a Democratic presidential candidate wasn't referring to modern agriculture at all. And Team Trump is deliberately misleading Americans. That's from a Bloomberg spokesman.
Well, if you read the first part, which said it was circulated by President Trump supporters, then you knew that it was
sham. Please hold. I need to go ahead and reply to a comment that because I saw the thing earlier. I need to hold on, but there's more. There we go. I always need to go back and correct things on Facebook if necessary. Yeah. That's just how I roll. All right. So
because you are a functioning adult.
I am.
That's not an asshole.
I try. Now again, they have to lie about everything. So anyway, back to the Bloomberg ad that was put out on social. This really is a home run when you're talking to Gen Xers because of the pop culture images that it uses to highlight that the president is a bully.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye.
What? Are you going to cry?
Which is also guilty of stupidity.
God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Get him the hell out of here, will you, please?
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Quiet. Quiet. Quiet.
Shut up.
Sit down. Go back to Univision.
Just all right.
Such a nasty
trust
one.
Up.
Like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
I will destroy you.
What a stupid question.
Butthead.
Get him the hell out of here, will you?
Get out of here.
No, not you. Not you.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
I
says there's a bully in the White House. Let's kick him out. And it uses a clip from
Trump.
Go home to mommy.
It shows a clip from the Karate Kid. Very effective imagery. I mean, Mike Bloomberg is spending a lot of money, and he appears to be spending it with people who are smart enough to craft imagery.
Yes.
Yeah, the same people that did the Fyre Festival.
To be fair, the people who were in charge of the Fyre Festival marketed the shit out of that thing.
They did.
It was a disaster when they got there.
Fuck Jerry really did.
Yeah, yes. I mean, seriously.
That was their name, right? I think that was the name of the PR firm.
Yeah, something like that. It was something like that.
Yeah, somebody pointed out that he spent $450 million so far on his campaign. Or just in the ads.
Yeah.
Just in the ads. Yeah. If you have $500 in your bank account and buy a Metro card for the day, $650, you've spent more of your wealth than he has.
Yeah.
That's nuts. That's nuts, man. That's just nuts when you think about like how much wealth some of these people have. And well,
I'm not going to hate on them for being wealthy.
Right.
No.
But I mean, when people say, oh my God, look how much he spent, in reality, in his terms, it's not that much.
It's not much.
It's like, I believe it was Patrick Ewing who famously said, look, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money too. Oh,
yeah.
Was it one of my friends back when I was younger, who's a lawyer? She said, I was like, you're a lawyer. You must be making a lot of money. She's like, yeah, but I spend a lot. She pretty much said the same thing. Yeah. She's like, yeah. She's like, just remember that, you know, people are making more money, but they're spending at the same level. So
quite often, very, very rarely do people make a lot more money and keep their spending in line with where it was before.
Yeah.
It's like new car, whatever, you know, stroller, whatever it might be.
Elizabeth Warren wrote a book, The Two Income Trap. Where it's like you fall into a trap when you have two income. Anyhow, when you start making more money, you spend more money.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Well, we're falling into the one income trap until Darling New Media starts making more money. So that's how that goes. New client starting up this week, too. Very
cool.
Very
excited.
Very excited. There's a photographer. And when we have more info on that, we'll be releasing it. As the day this show drops, she is recording her first episode. So.
Ooh.
Yes,
we'll talk
sir.
About that after the show. But I got my first headshot client.
Nice.
So
damn, son.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So you remember Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House. He's a Fox News parent company board member now. He previously served, as I mentioned, as Speaker of the House. He made a bold prediction last week, and that is, if President Donald Trump wins a second term, he will take on the issue of health care again, which would devastate people's lives if it comes to fruition. Let that sink in for just a moment. If you're someone who is thinking about voting for Trump or just sitting home because your candidate didn't happen to make it out of the primaries, this is from Paul Ryan. If President Donald Trump wins a second term, he will take on the issue of health care again, which would devastate people's lives if it comes to fruition. The potential impact of repealing the Affordable Care Act, as Republicans have tried and failed to do in 2017, would mean tens of millions more people living without health insurance or paying increased premiums, and insurance companies would again be allowed to deny coverage due to pre-existing conditions. Indeed, Ryan gave a presentation on the issue back in 2017 in which he appeared to object to the whole principle of health insurance in the first place and spoke positively of switching over to an economy of individual price shopping for important medical procedures. As a result of these high stakes, healthcare was still a major issue that drove Democratic victories in 2018, and the Trump administration is still trying to get the whole ACA thrown out in court. That was they're doing that as he was saying, we're protecting pre-existing conditions in the State of the Union.
So as somebody who lived on the state's titty because his father died when he was below 18.
Right. Paul Ryan.
I always find it fucking amazing that now you want to deny other people shit that you got for free.
I don't know that he necessarily does now that he's not in the House.
Yeah. No, but if your parent dies, you get a check.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I'm pretty sure that insurance was one of those other things that was attached to that.
Yeah. There were a lot of things.
Getting like Medicare and other stuff because of that.
Social Security.
Yeah. It sounds like he's in favor of it.
No, it doesn't sound like he's in favor of it because, I mean.
He's just pointing out that this is what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
When he's also saying that it's a bad thing. He's not saying that, like, if he could, with his statement, direct the narrative that he wants to be, like, he's saying that it's a negative thing.
Right.
He's not saying this is a good thing. Like, other Republican would be saying, yeah, finally, all these people can get off the tit.
He's one of the people that are responsible for all of the bombs that are in Obamacare.
Now, he also said, I think the president will put an effort in health care reform again, which is an absolutely necessary if you want to get the debt under control. The only bill we didn't pass of our list of things we said we would do was a health care legislation. It passed the House, but it failed by one vote in the Senate. That would have done a lot to unlock choice and competition in health care, lowering prices, lowering premiums, and reducing the national debt. In a Trump second term, he'll go after that.
Again, fuck you, Paul Ryan, because the national debt exploded because you guys gave billionaires, they're not paying taxes now.
Right.
You just gave them that massive tax cut, and then you gave the military money that they didn't even want.
Right. So the military budget has exploded. By the way, and that's where we spend way more money than we do on healthcare.
Yeah.
Is on the military.
By lots.
By a lot. And we're diverting that military money that's supposed to be going to the military to the border wall.
Yeah. Like I said, he gave them money for programs that they didn't even want. They're like, no, we're good here. We don't need that for that. Like, no, here.
You're going to have it.
You can have it. It's like, no, we don't need that. We just need this. Like,
don't be distracted. I'm helping the baby.
Yeah. But you're going to say that healthcare is what's causing. Well, what about how much money did he give to farmers in Iowa?
Yeah, and when we say farmers, let's be very clear about the whole farmers thing. Yeah. Because everybody hears farmers, and they think of someone like my dad. It was a family farm where it was my dad, my mom, and I. And my mom had a job.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, two or three people running this. These farms, for the most part, that are getting this subsidy money are big corporately owned entities. They're big corporations who have a division that owns farms.
Yeah.
It's not the farmer in his coveralls just out there doing his business.
The farmer lives in the house and that's it. Somebody else comes and runs the, no, I mean like that they're pretty much sharecropping in a way, but they're not working their own land.
So
right.
When we say farmer, please let's not conflate what your idyllic Norman Rockwell image of a farmer is with what's actually happening here with these huge factory farms. So let's get past that for a minute and realize that the biggest cause of bankruptcy of individuals in this country is healthcare.
Yeah.
It's healthcare. And John Oliver this past week, he's back.
He's back?
Oliver is back.
All right.
Check out John Oliver's.
I've been looking for him.
Last week tonight, they talked about healthcare in a very honest and open way in terms of what is it going to mean for costs? Because for a lot of things, he's like, well, we just don't know because there are too many variables until we actually get it in place. Costs could be a little bit higher. They could be a lot lower. Even the studies have shown a wide variance in what it is. But he's being from England said, I don't know anybody who has a horror story about the NHS in England, but I know literally almost everyone I know has a horror story about dealing with insurance companies in the States.
And
that's really telling with the whole thing. So wherever you come down on this, the idea that, and he also ripped on Pete Buttigieg a little bit in terms
of, I was watching the news last week and I saw a story of a kid that was, I think she needed either a kidney or a liver transplant or something like that. And the insurance was like, well, we don't think you need that. So we're not going to cover it.
Yeah, the insurance company. So the idea that, oh, if I live in Canada, I have to wait for things. If you live here, you have to wait for things for a variety of reasons. My wife has a little mass in her hand, and she went to the doctor almost 2 months ago to say, what is this and how do I deal with it? And she got a referral. It's not a referral. Is it? What is it?
A request. It's like a,
it's a referral.
Yeah. Anyway, it's taking almost 3 months from the time she went to the doctor to the time she's actually going to be able to get that removed.
Yeah.
And you can go, well, that's not life-threatening. Well, no, it's not. But you still have to wait for things here. The idea that you're going to get whatever you need on demand for something that isn't immediately life-threatening, that's a fallacy here. How far in advance do you need to make a dentist appointment? How far in advance do you need to make a colonoscopy appointment?
Months.
And even if you're in the hospital, you still might get pushed aside. I was watching another story this morning. There's a black man that's suing a hospital, I think in Southern Cal, where his wife died during their pregnancy.
Right.
And he kept telling the doctor, hey, my wife's having some trouble. And they were like, well, your wife's not a priority right now.
Well, and that may be because they may have only a certain number of personnel there. And there may be somebody down the hall who's having chest pains or whatever else right. that ranks higher on the list. But that the idea that you're not going to get cared for if we had, quote unquote, socialized medicine is a giant boogeyman scare tactic.
Right.
Yeah. And what's going to happen to all the doctors that are currently employed? Are they just going to go away?
Well, there's about 1.8 million people that could lose their jobs. They're all the they're what I like to call private sector bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's yeah.
They're people who push papers, who make decisions on whether you get your surgery covered right. or how much they're going to pay for it.
It's going to be a huge, like, there's so many pluses in it. Like, what's the company? Dignity Healthcare had a huge spot in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, that's a health insurance company, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I would be pissed. I, like, never will ever use them as my health because, like, there's that type of money you're taking, like, you're spending. Well,
okay. Local Super Bowl ad.
I don't know if that was a local. Do you think that was just a local?
I don't think they bought a national Super Bowl ad. They're more of a regional.
Is there a point? Is there a point within the Super Bowl yes. during the regular game yes. that they give to?
So yes. The first half of a Super Bowl is everybody who's paid $3 to $5 million for a 30-second spot.
There are a number of spots that are available to local advertisers.
I still think that it's one of those things that you don't like that type of. You don't need that type of advertisement for like that. That's waste. That advertising for health companies is a waste. Just like because
well, if you want to have competition between the health insurance,
that's what I'm saying.
Then they're going to advertise because they want to,
and it's a wasted cost. It's right. a sunk cost that does nobody good, and that's why profit needs to be taken out of healthcare. Like that's just the basic thing, and that's the thing that like you think you just have to explain.
Why do you hate everybody. America? Why do you hate America?
I don't. I love America, but
you don't.
Do you think it's fair for a doctor to want you to be sick because they profit off it?
Well, they don't want you to be sick. They want to get their money. They want to get paid, yo.
That's sorry. But yeah, but I mean, like, that's a simple question. Like, I don't want my doctor getting, like, having a say of how he's going to make a profit with me staying sick.
Did we talk about last week that,
and not that they do that.
I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or not, but that before 1973, it was not legal to make profits off of medical in this country. That was something that was enacted during, we did talk about it last week.
No, we didn't. No, okay. But
that was, I found out about it pretty recently that it was something that was brought in 1973 under Richard Nixon.
Of course.
And for all of you who love them and all of you who hate them, the biggest lobbying force behind that, Kaiser.
Of course, yeah.
Kaiser. So FYI, we like to look back. Oh, you know, when I was a kid, you could just go to the doctor and everything. And older people are like, when I was young, we just blah, blah, blah. Right. Because they prices were controlled because they couldn't do X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Pharmaceutical companies did not have an advertising budget where they were putting ads on TV because it was not legal to do that.
Thanks, Ronald Reagan.
Oh, that, well, that's oh, and that, that Ronald Reagan, he's the one that allowed advertising to happen with kids programming also. Like, so it's just, so, you see this thing with, I know that it's separate, but it's not. It's like, that's the Republicans' game, is they decide to put profit into things that there shouldn't be profit in.
Well, that's what they call America.
You can trace so much of what is wrong with our country right now back to fucking Ronald Reagan.
Hey, remember the 80s? All right, so Rush Limbaugh, recent Medal of Freedom winner, he was perplexed, if you will, about how to explain something about Pete Buttigieg.
So, for those of you watching on the Ditto Cam, that means you are a subscriber, a member.
Should we get a Ditto Cam?
Yes, we should.
No, Ditto we should get a Ditto
Cam. We should. If people want to hang out with us.
Ditto Cam. We could get a dildo cam and just put a dildo on the camera.
And have, can we put Rush Limbaugh's face on it?
Hello! Hello, Mega Dittos! Mega Ditto. Anyway.
At Rush 24/7. Keep a sharp eye here. As I saw in fact, Brian, when I point at you, not now, but when the next time I point, that's when you do the switch, okay? I should have done this before the segment began, but what the heck? I mean, given the instructions, we're trying to make it real tight here, you know, look like TV broadcast professionals. Okay. So I saw a political ad where Mayor Pete Buttigieg going on and on and on and on and on about how parents in America are struggling to explain President Trump to their children. And then I happened to see this. Now, what are you shaking your head at in there? You think,
Rush, it's a radio show.
But this is if you pay extra, you get to see what he's pointing at.
It's a radio show.
I mean, my natural conclusion. So he says Trump causes problems for parents. What about that? If you're not watching on the Ditto Cam, what it is, a picture of Mayor Pete kissing his husband, which he does frequently.
Okay.
He does it frequently.
Frequently. He does it frequently. My goodness.
Hi.
I've seen him on television quite a few times. I think I've only seen it once.
Yeah. So Rush wants to know how to explain it to your kids. So not missing an opportunity, Mayor Pete answered that question. How do you explain it to your kids? And TMZ has it.
Rush Limbaugh, to whom the president recently awarded the nation's top civilian honor, described you as a 37-year-old gay guy, mayor of South Bend, who loves to kiss his husband on the debate stage. Now, there has been bipartisan criticism of him for those remarks. I wanted to give you a chance to respond if you would like to.
Well, I love my husband. I'm faithful to my husband. On stage, we usually just go for a hug. But I love him very much. And I'm not going to take lectures on family values from the likes of Rush Limbaugh.
Zing!
Yeah, I mean, so pretty good there, you know?
Too bad his wife can't divorce him now that he has cancer.
Aww.
That would be a good one.
That's not right. All right, so let me.
She's got to hold on to get that money.
Yeah. So I gotta. I don't want to talk about Roger Stone. I really don't. So we're not going to. Instead, I want to talk about Geraldo Rivera. So Geraldo Rivera went on Sean Hannity's radio show on Premier Radio Networks, and he had some very interesting things to say. During Black History Month.
Earl Scott with us. Geraldo, you know, you're looking at this too. Okay, we're only arresting kids that are minorities for marijuana, really? And we're putting every cop only in minority neighborhoods. You know, and I know, in New York, there are kids from all backgrounds, if you disagree, tell me. It's usually socioeconomic related, that are doing this stuff. We gotta go after every kid that is in trouble. You go where the higher concentration of crime is, but you don't ignore everyone else, and you just go after one race, because that's what he's saying here.
Well, to me, what Bloomberg's biggest sin, Sean, is not that he used stop and frisk or
a tactic that impacted one particular community more harshly than others. The problem with Bloomberg is he's a hypocrite, that he endorsed these policies and took people like me with him. Ray Kelly, his terrific police commissioner. We watched crime drop in New York. And then, however, when he wanted to run in an area where demographically that didn't play as well as it played in New York City,
Geraldo, hang on.
Looking back on his history and changing his mind. That's the thing that bugs me. He doesn't have the courage of his conviction.
He said police stop white people too much and minorities too little. But he said he put all the cops in minority neighborhoods. Now, if Donald Trump said that, Geraldo, game over, yes or no?
Well, I agree with Pastor Scott that President Trump has now taken a brilliant turn in a way that, with full disclosure, has embraced the African-American and Latino communities, riding the wave of this employment boom, and the fact that minority unemployment is at historic lows. Donald Trump is
making an argument
that resonates, that he's the true civil rights leader, not Bloomberg, that Trump's way.
All right, let's get to that on the other side of the break. We're going to hold you guys over because this is too important a discussion, and we're expanding it out.
Come on now.
Okay. Kareem, thoughts?
So, over 80% of black people think Donald Trump is racist, period. Point blank, period. We already know. Okay, so here's the deal. We don't trust any of the white people that are left as candidates for president.
Well, that's all that's left.
That's all that's left. So, we don't trust any of them. But we know that we have to make a deal with one of the devils. We already know what Bloomberg is because he already told us.
Right.
What's her? Amy Klobuchar is dealing with a case where she sent a 16-year-old, or she tried a 16-year-old for a murder that he probably didn't commit. And there's DNA evidence and other evidence that's come out since then. I did watch her yesterday say that she didn't try the second case because the first case got thrown out.
Okay.
The case that she tried got thrown out. But the fact that you took this hit the trial with the shady evidence that you had, that says a lot about you. Mayor Pete, he has a whole set of issues with black people as far as he fired the first black police chief in his town, and he fired the black fire chief as well. And he fired the black police chief because he was recording the racist shit that the white officers were saying. Bernie, we just don't trust Bernie. And that's because we know that anytime any white person offers us a whole lot of shit for free, there's something that comes with it that he ain't said up front.
Okay, so let's be clear about Bernie for a second. And I don't want to get into a whole thing back and forth about Bernie. He's not offered anybody anything for free. That's the way that the Republicans like to couch everything and put it. It's free healthcare. It's free this. It's not free. He never said it was free. In fact, he said, you know what? Your taxes might go up a little bit.
I saw that clip last week.
He said that for months now. That's and even in the last presidential campaign in 2016. So the idea that he is promising stuff for free is not actually true. And neither is Elizabeth Warren. They're both saying that you should have a right to healthcare.
Right.
And
did you notice I didn't put Elizabeth Warren in that
category? No. I understand what you're saying. I just wanted to clarify that Bernie has not actually promised stuff for free.
I understand what you're saying, but the imagery is that's the imagery. So that's why I have to deal with it that way.
Uh-huh.
And then who's the other person that's left? Biden, they're hanging the crime bill around his neck. And there are a bunch of younger people who have hopped onto that who still don't know enough history to understand how the crime bill got to where it was. Don't understand the 80s crack epidemic. So we know that those are all the devils that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that at least what they're going to do isn't going to be as bad as any of the shit that Trump's going to do because Trump has no fucking idea what he's doing.
So you're saying he's not the civil rights champion?
He's not. Because as much as he cut taxes for the rich, he didn't get nobody no fucking job.
He's gotten people to an additional job.
What a black unemployment is at the lowest rate ever, Kareem. Haven't you heard?
The black unemployment had gone down under Obama. And then a lot of the programs that he's touting that he did were programs that had already started.
Right.
So, and Pastor Scott, like I said, is always one. He's that one in this segment. And Geraldo.
Oh, Geraldo.
He should change his name, not from Geraldo, to George. His name should be George Rivers.
Well, at one point, there was this whole movement, because I think when he was first starting out, he did use the name Jerry Rivers.
Yes.
Which is the name of a 60s singer. But
yes.
Either way.
Yes, he should be George Rivers. That's who he should be.
Okay. Got a lot to say over here. So Trump, not a civil rights.
Not a civil icon. Rights.
Okay.
I don't know. He gave Rush Limbaugh the
Medal
of Freedom.
He sure did. Meanwhile, it's time to meet David Marcel Lewis Johnson. The 26-year-old Michigan resident was recently arrested after relieving himself on the bumper of a marked police car. That's according to Florida cops who captured him midstream. Oh, I forgot that this was actually in Florida. So let's do this.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
I was thrown off because he's from Michigan. Police say Johnson was in downtown St. Pete around 1 a.m. when he was observed approaching a sergeant's police vehicle. He then removed his penis from the front of his pants and urinated on the rear bumper of the vehicle. By the way, it would have been a neat trick if he would have removed his penis from the back of his pants. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The arrest affidavit reports that Johnson was taken into custody while still in commission of the crime. He was booked. He was busted on the block with several popular bars and nightclubs. Johnson, who was uncooperative with questioning, was charged with disorderly conduct for urinating in view of members of the public. He was freed from custody after he posted a $250 cash bond. Johnson, not a Florida native, he lives outside Detroit, has pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor count. So good luck to him. Meanwhile, yeah, a woman raged after her beau rejected sex. Cops found the boyfriend battered and the home's front window shattered. That rhymes. Upon returning home after an evening of boozing at the bowling alley, Rebecca Duarte wanted to have sexual intercourse with her boyfriend. It's according to a police report. But when Duarte's beau refused to engage, a verbal argument began late Sunday evening. The man told cops that when he went outside the Fort Pierce residence to get away from Duarte, she followed him. Now, according to an arrest affidavit, Duarte, who's 23, first punched out the front glass window with her hand, then allegedly approached her boyfriend and began striking him. After pushing her away, the victim told officers that he walked to a neighbor's house. A cop reported observing multiple jalousy windows. I don't know what that is. They were broken with shattered glass on the floor. Additionally, her 51-year-old boyfriend, oh my, had cuts on his face and shoulders. During police questioning, Duarte was unable to provide a statement and could not walk without assistance due to her intoxicated state. She kept saying, "I want to call my mom." She was arrested for domestic battery after investigators found her to be the primary aggressor during the 11 p.m. confrontation. The victim, who did not want her to be charged, refused to sign the paperwork or allow deputies to document the pictures of his injuries. She's scheduled for a February 20th arraignment for the misdemeanor, and they are to have no contact with each other. Ain't no drunk like a bowling alley drunk, is there?
No. It's a special type.
It really is. to go ahead and do that. And finally, it's Florida.
Of course.
It's Black History Month. And so what could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? Well, headline, canceled Black History event encouraged white students to dress up as black leaders.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go as Malcolm X.
I like that the ad that gets served up before is a Bank of America ad with nothing but African American actors. I guess to be sensitive to, you know, Black History Month. I'm not waiting for the actual video. Planned Black History Month at a majority white Brevard County High School encouraged students to come to school wearing an African-themed head wrap or turban and dress up as an inspiring black leader. Well, it doesn't say come in blackface. Plans for the Melbourne High School principal, Chad Kirk, called a Black History Spirit Week in an email to parents were canceled after the school began receiving complaints. After reflecting on the decision, I wanted to make sure we were being culturally sensitive to students on campus and in the community. Now, the week-long event was devised by a group of black students and was scheduled to begin, well, today as we're recording this, and feature themes like wear your African-themed dakishi skirt, wear an African-themed head wrap or turban, dress up as an inspiring black leader from history, wear all black in honor of Black History Month, or wear the colors of your favorite African flag. Yeah. And in the email, the principal encouraged all students to participate, even though only 7% of the students are black. The event had not yet taken place, and there were no reports of any incidents. But the principal did issue an apology email calling his endorsement an error in judgment. Kareem, thoughts?
I'm still baffled at shit like this. The fact that you...
And we get this far?
That far that you actually do it. Like, so I'm looking at this, and then there was a fashion show at the New York Fashion Institute where they wanted a black girl to dress up like a monkey.
Well, that seems like a bad idea.
And thought she was the crazy one for telling them that it was a bad idea.
Oh.
It was like, no, we're not doing this. They thought she was a crazy one. Mm. Like, oh, you're being uncooperative. Like, no, motherfucker, I'm not dressing up as a monkey for you.
Well, she was being uncooperative, but justifiably so, I would probably say.
I don't understand how you get to that point and you not understand that that's what that is. Like,
I couldn't tell you. I mean, we do this every year when Black History Month rolls around.
And we do it, and then we do it in Halloween also.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this one, I think at least, oh boy. Yep. Oh.
Who thought that that was okay?
I don't know.
My question is like, do you not know any black people at all anywhere that you would think that it would be okay for that to happen?
Well, the ones that they do know are probably the ones that you talk about. They're the ones.
I don't know why you're getting so upset about every little thing, Kareem. Come on, it's just fashion.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's got that. I mean, like, it's like when my sister showed a video of like her kids at this play. Like, they're like 5 years old, 6 years old, and they're at this kindergarten thing, and a bunch of monkeys came out, and the cops were trying to gather up all the monkeys. Like, it's just crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, symbolism.
All right. So that's Florida Corner. Hey, I want to remind everybody, because I didn't do it at the top of the show like I should have, thank you for shopping the Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and we do appreciate when you do that. There's also the Shop Target tab there as well for your finest culturally insensitive items that you may purchase in an attempt to seem woke and unwoke at the same time during Black History Month. Or maybe you really boned Valentine's Day. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah. Like,
whatever.
I don't understand how you get to that point.
I think at least with this school thing, because there were some students that came up with the idea that I rarely say this because I've stopped it, but I think their heart was in the right place.
You might be right.
I think their heart was in the right place to try to say, African-American culture and African culture is important. Let's find a way to celebrate it, and let's find a way to be inclusive and get students really involved with it.
Right.
And it just opened the door. Thankfully, it didn't happen, because the worst thing that would have happened is it happens and then you get half the students showing up in blackface.
Yes.
You can dress up as somebody that you like and admire and not be in blackface.
Yes.
You can go as Mr. T with a mohawk and a bunch of chains and not go in blackface.
Exactly.
People might call you white Mr. T, but yeah, you are white Mr. T.
Yeah. Like, we would still know who you are. And actually, I agree with you on that.
Call you chai tea.
I agree with you on that.
Latte tea.
Tea latte. Yeah. Jumping off of that, spring training has started, by the way. I saw something this morning on MLB Network, 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues.
Yes.
They're doing a bunch of specials on that, so check that out if you're interested.
I have a set of Negro League baseball cards.
Nice.
I'll let you check them out.
Very nice. So as baseball comes back, the players are starting to comment for the first time on the Houston Astros cheating scandal, and Cody Bellinger, who is an outfielder for the LA Dodgers, who lost the World Series that year to those Houston Astros, had some thoughts to express.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But to go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I set my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, I'm going crazy.
So?
I would. And then, I love Dusty Baker, but the fact that you're talking about please protect my players, like, no, fuck it. Your players deserve to get plucked every time they come up to bat.
Yeah, they had this big fucking thing where basically the commissioner told people don't be doing that. So if you hit one of them, you're going to get more punishment than they did for cheating.
And there have been people that have said it, and I've said this from the beginning, and I'm going to say this about the Major League Baseball commissioner is a bitch. He's a punk. He should have, not only should he have taken both of their world championships, and the guy from Boston, if Boston did the same thing, theirs should have been revoked too.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that participated should be banned for a year.
Yeah. At the very least, strip the championships. I get that because they may have, to get all the information, they may have offered immunity to some of the players. So I get that, but take those titles from them.
You can't. You get suspended for how many games in baseball for smoking weed?
I don't know what that is now. I think it's like
a half a season. It's like 80 games or something.
80 crazy. Games is the PED suspension.
Yeah. What I'm saying, so.
But I mean, what is a PED other than an attempt to gain an advantage?
Yeah.
So the second time you do it, you get a year.
Yeah. So you should at least, you should spend half the team for the first half of the season. You should spend the other half of the team for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
You guys want to know what I'm just excited about? I'm excited about the new reboot of Major League getting ready to happen.
Oh, God.
In Houston.
And meanwhile, on the other LA team front, Mike Trout, who once again was named the best player in Major League Baseball, once again, he rarely says anything. He rarely gives his opinion on anything. He arrived at spring training, and Mike gave his opinion on this.
I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player is not getting anything. You know, it was a player-driven. Sucks because, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. It would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It would be pretty fun up there.
Yeah, it would be pretty fun up there if he knew what was coming. It's almost like he knows what's coming now.
Yeah.
Imagine if that guy knew what was coming. Holy hell.
So you got Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire can't make it to the Hall of Fame, or they're not getting any votes.
Right.
And for taking PEDs, but you got somebody who actually cheated. And they got nothing. They get nothing.
Confirmed cheated. Yep. Cheated.
Trump's America, brah.
Should not be allowed. None of them should be allowed in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, and an unfortunate situation. But yeah,
she agrees.
Yeah, you've been very good this whole time. We've heard very little from baby, which is fantastic. She's been chilling and enjoying the show, which is why we are done pressing our luck, and we're gonna get out of here.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
We go to Augusta, Maine, where a man was arrested and charged with operating under the influence after being caught riding a lawnmower.
In the middle of winter?
Yes, sir. Climate change. Dateline Augusta, Maine. The Augusta police shared a photo on their Facebook page. It shows police cruisers pulled up behind a lawnmower on the wrong side of the road. Police say the man had been riding the lawnmower and was arrested and charged with OUI, which is operating under the influence. Police say in the post that while it's not uncommon to make an arrest on a lawnmower for an OUI, rarely do they see cases like this in the winter. So that's it. That's it. I thought it was going to be a pretty...
it's a quick one.
Yeah. They... And it looks like that Snapchat.
It does. It looks like
as seen on Facebook. And no, it's Facebook. I see the little Facebook logo up there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's your small town news from the deepest corners of Maine. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you, little Nugs, for being a good little girl during the WTH podcast. It's appreciated. Could have gone sideways.
I could have just been here the whole time just making baby noises.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, you stopped me.
Yeah.
I would have hit him in the throat.
Right into the microphone. It's like, no. She doesn't have that. She can't hear you.
I know.
It's not like I have headphones on the baby. She's chilling out over in her stroller. Just relaxing. Maxing and relaxing. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the WTH podcast. We will be back next week with another fresh new episode full of nonsense and nincompoopery. Until then, don't punch at the back of anybody's seat, because that would make you
an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. That's all I ask. Literally, that's all we ask.
And do not slam on the brakes in the middle of a turn in the turn lane with the light green for any reason whatsoever. Not green turning yellow or yellow turning red, green. Don't do it.
I've seen that. Maybe next week we'll cut back on the politics and go back into the grievances.
It might be the same, bro.
It could be. It could very well be. We don't know. That's the thing. Yeah. All right. So be good. Yeah. I already said all that.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. See ya. Enjoy the rest of your. Well, it's not President's Day anymore. But as we drop this show. It's my birthday.
Ah,
so happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Nate.
All right. We'll see you next time. Bye.